We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to read you three of my really short favorite stories. And I've read a bunch of stories this Christmas just going through, but these are my top three. And I want us to look at different phases of Christmas, because sometimes it's hard for us to, you know, well, the first message I preached was preparing the gift. How many knows who gave us the gift? God gave us the gift. And who was the gift? Jesus. And who did he give the gift to? Us. And so today we're going to talk about, we talked about preparing the gift and presenting the gift. Today we're talking about accepting the gift. Sometimes it's hard to accept what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's hard to accept what God wants to do in and through us, isn't it? Oh, Lord, you know, don't pick me, pick somebody else. And somebody else can sing better or do better or preach better or witness better or whatever it is. And so we're going to look at three of my favorite stories. You got your sword and ready to learn today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me, we'll look at some scripture from Joseph's point of view, because the first story I want to read you is from his point of view. And accepting where God had, he has to go through the initial shock of his wife carrying God's child and all. And so his first story is about him. In Matthew, the first chapter, Joseph, this is Joseph, and it always amazes me. But, you know, to get in mind that Mary and Joseph is a common couple. You know, they're like these kids. They're just everyday, normal folks, you know. And God has decided to do something extraordinary through ordinary people. And the exciting thing to me is God is still doing extraordinary things through ordinary people, one home at a time, one well at a time, and whatever he can get through us, he's still doing extraordinary things. But this is some of his struggle. And so this is where we're starting today in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And so evidently she's told Joe that she is carrying God's child, and Joe, just as much as he loves her and as good as his heart is, he just cannot believe that. It's just unbelievable, and rightly so. You know, can you imagine your spouse telling you that? And so here he is, and so he's heard the truth, by the way. He's not heard a lie. He's heard the truth. And how many know sometimes when God does something extraordinary, the truth is very hard to swallow? Because this is the truth. She's told him the truth. And from the truth now comes a divorce. He's contemplating putting her away, breaking off the engagement. And he says that he wants to do it in a just matter. And he's probably saying, you know, I can't believe she's fabricated such a story. So she must be embarrassed and shamed. And so now he's going to put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so it takes an angelic visit and said, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And they did not know, and he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I want to read you, and this is from Max Lucado's book. In fact, if you don't have this book, it's in two or three. I've got both editions. There's another, but it's just one incredible moment by Max Lucado, and it's from different. But this is a great Christmas read, and families are just. I read through this every year, and Ken Guy, I read his books, and he's just got little magical moments, short stories like this, and others. But these are some of my favorite. But here's What I want you to get, and I want you to listen intently. This is different than what I normally do, but I want you to get the message from each one of these stories. And the first story is about Joseph struggling with where and when God decides to bring forth his son. How many believes that God knows better than Joseph when and where to bring forth his son? But young Joseph is really struggling with it. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen intently. In coaching, we say there's three levels of listening, and the first one is self-centered listening. Self-centered listening says, what's in it for me? In fact, as proud as I am of you of supporting the Guatemalan group, once a year we have our Guatemalan pastors come and speak, and they're very difficult to hear. And it always amazes me that I get negative feedback about them coming and hard to understand. And I call that self-centered listening. It's about, I can't understand everything that's said. And instead of listening intently and asking the Holy Spirit to help, we choose to gripe. Amen. Merry Christmas. Self-centered listening. In fact, we do a lot of that on a daily basis, just self-centered listening. It's about what's in it for me. If, you know, and you're listening to somebody, they come up to you and you're not really interested in their story, and you're looking at your watch and you're looking back at them and you're looking around, they're trying to talk to you and you're not focused at all. That's self-centered listening. We do a lot of that. And then the second level of listening, of course, is other listening, where we're concerned and we really care about what you're saying. It's a great, great tool and great. Let me just encourage all of us this year to get on that kind of other listening instead of self-centered listening. You know, self-centered listening, sometimes if you don't hurry, I'll finish your sentence. Is that what you're going to say? I need to get on out of here. Is that what you're going to finish and say? You ever done that? Pull somebody's sentence and just go ahead and finish it for them because they're mumbling around and you got things to do, baby. But other listening is just saying, well, what are they trying to say, and where are they, and what's going on with them? And then the third level is intuitive listening. Intuitive listening. In other words, I'm listening below the surface. Susan Scott calls it mineral rights. I'm drilling for mineral rights. I'm trying to see what's below the surface, picking up on the emotions of what's being said, whether it's a good emotion or a bad emotion, trying to read between the lines if you're excited, you're sad, what it's doing to you. It's an art form, really, but it's a great form of listening where I'm really in tune with you. I'm really listening to you, and I'm saying, is this what I'm really hearing? And then asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with what's being said? I'd like for you to practice today, if you would, intuitive listening, because here's what I know: sometimes we want to do something for God. We accept Christ, like Joseph. He finally did. We just read in Matthew 1 where he finally accepts the truth, and that, you know, the honeymoon's postponed, and my first child, you know. And how would you like to be the second child in that family? Why don't you be more like Jesus? Yeah, you thought you had it rough, you know. Yeah, why don't you be more like Jesus? Yeah. So. Listen with intuitive ears and say, what is it that God wants me to glean from this story? And just like Joseph, sometimes we think God wants to do something through us, but right now, God, I'm in school, or I'm busy with Christmas, or I've got family, or we've got weddings, or we've got funerals, or how many knows we've always got that stuff going on as long as we're here? And so how about letting God interrupt us? And this is young Joseph, and he's having struggle. This is not biblical, but it's probably something that Joseph was literally thinking as he's Mary's about to give birth. And so he's having problems accepting where and when God is choosing to bring in his son. He said, this isn't the way I planned it, God. Not at all. My child being born in a stable? This isn't the way I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys, hay and straw? My wife giving birth with only stars to hear her pain? This isn't at all what I imagined. No, I imagined family. I imagined grandmothers. I imagined neighbors clustered outside the door and friends standing at my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant, slaps on the back and loud laughter and jubilation. That's how I thought it would be. But now, who will celebrate with us? The sheep? The shepherds? The stars? This doesn't seem right. What kind of a husband am I? I provide no midwife for my wife? No bed to rest her back? Her pillow is a blanket from my donkey. Did I miss something? Did I, God? You ever been there? When you sent the angel and spoke of the Son being born, this isn't what I pictured. I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, the priests, the people gathered to watch. A pageant, perhaps. A parade. I mean, this is the Messiah. Or if not born in Jerusalem, how about in Nazareth? Wouldn't Nazareth have been better? At least there I have my house and my business. Out here, what do I have? A weary mule? A sack of firewood? A pot of warm water? This is not the way I wanted it. Forgive me for asking, but is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel, I've accepted. The questions people ask about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Bethlehem, fine, but a birth in a stable? God. Any minute now, Mary will give birth, not to a child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. That's what the angel said. That's what Mary believes. And my God, that's what I want to believe. But surely you can understand, it's not easy. It seems so bizarre. I'm unaccustomed to such strangeness, God. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not a friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But God, this time I'm not the builder. This time I'm the tool. I'm the hammer in your grip. I'm the chisel in your hands. This project is yours, not mine. I guess it's foolish of me to question you. Forgive my struggling. Trust doesn't come easy to me, God. But you never said it would be easy, did you? One final thing, Father. The angel you sent, any chance you could send another? If not an angel, maybe a person? I don't know anyone around here, and some company would be nice. Maybe the innkeeper or a traveler? Even a shepherd would do. You ever had trouble with God? You know, God, I'll do it, but let's don't do it right now. Things are busy right now. You know, God, I'll start my devotions and I'll be faithful and I'll start this and I'll do that, but not right now, Lord. This is a bad time. How many knows when God prompts you, it's His time, and when He prompts you, it's a good time. Right now, I feel like one of the things that God wants me to do is learn Spanish. Spanish is hard if you're young. It's harder if you're old. Der. So tonight, I'm going to a Hispanic church. Yesterday, we was over and Jan's getting her hair cut and things, and I heard two radios. I said, "What is that noise?" And Summer said, "It's a church right next door." And I said, "What kind of church?" She said, "I think it's a Hispanic church." And I thought, I've been asking and praying. I said, I got to go talk to him. And so I went over and talked to him. And I said, I think God wants me to learn Spanish. And the pastor's very kind. And he's been here for years and years, he said. And he said, English is very hard. Yeah, Spanish is very hard. And I said, I just feel like I need a place to come and associate with Hispanic people. And if you've got a place, I'll serve. I'll do anything. I don't care what capacity. I'm a pastor here in town, and I'll serve your congregation in any capacity that you can. You allow me just to hang around. He said, I think this is a God appointment, and he told me his service time, so tonight at 6, I'm going to go learn Spanish. So I've got Rosetta, and I've got a tutor coming now, and I'm going to go over and I don't know why. And Jana's like, what are you going to do over there? And I thought, I don't know. I'm going to hear Espanol. That's all I know right now. But I told her, I said, I feel like God has a place for me. And I know we go to Guatemala, but He's got a place for me somewhere that is going to come in where I need it. And so that's, you know, pray for me. Would you pray for me? That's my Christmas gift. Come on, pray for me. Just wave at me if you'll pray for me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all those prayers. And so I just want to, I feel like I need to learn the language. And it's not ever an opportune time. It's easier to sit at home with her and turn on the fire and watch TV. But that's just something I want to do. And I'll see other times if they have it so I can edify both my wife and God's call. But this year, let's just move on God's timetable. When God says it's time, just say, okay, it's time. You know, some of you, it might be time to go home. I just buried our good friend Lucille Collinsworth, the little granny you sat on the back row with our seniors, just did her funeral this last week. And what a card she was. What a great woman of God. And it's a great service, you know, just be able to speak to her, because she was one of the founders of here when we came here, supporting and giving to this ministry to buy this place for the down payment. And so she's one of the pioneers in that. And so it's an honor to be able to lift her up and encourage her family. So how many knows when your time comes to go home, you'll keep your appointment then. So why not just keep every other appointment? So when we go home, we'll have some reward, and we won't go with shame, but we'll go with faith and pride, saying, and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And now, and this one kind of talks about God sees you, and it talks a little about Mary and Joseph. They've accepted the fact that they're going to be the parents and give birth to the Son of God. But when He comes, what do you do with Him? Can you imagine? What do you do with God if it's you just had God's child? And what do you do with them? How do you correct Him? What do you say to Him? God's child. What does God want you to say? And so, as you listen to this story, here's what I want you to think. What is it that God wants you to say? What is it that God wants you to do with Him this Christmas? What does God want you to do with Him this week at work? You ever struggle with that, on what to say and how to be a light and how to be a witness and how to try to show your faith without getting preachy or be calling, you know, goody two-shoes? And it's a struggle sometimes, isn't it? How do I present Christ in a mess? Anybody ever been around a mess where you're at? How do I present Christ in a mess? I can remember as a young Christian, every time I tried to present Christ, it came off preachy, and it came off, and people say, you just think you're better than us. And I hated that, because that wasn't my intent at all. My intent was to preach the gospel and see transformation like I had been transformed, but it came across as you think you're better than us. And I found out that's called zeal without much knowledge. That's what that's called. And so you have to try to learn and get a little more knowledge along with your witness. And so here's something that they've, God, are you seeing me? And what do we do with you? Listen to the words. It says, untethered by time, God sees us all. From the backwoods of Virginia to the business district of London. From the Vikings to the astronauts, from the cave dwellers to kings, from the hut builders to the finger pointers to the rock stackers, He sees us. Vagabond and ragamuffins all, He saw us before we were born. And He loves what He sees. He loves what He sees. When He's looking at you, He loves what He sees. Some of you don't believe that, but He does. When He looks at you, He believes, He loves what He sees. He sent His Son for you, you know. Flooded by emotions, overcome by pride, the Star Maker turns to us one by one and says, you are my child. I love you dearly. I'm aware that someday you'll turn from me and walk away, but I want you to know I've already provided a way back. And to prove it, He did something extraordinary. Stepping from the throne, He removed His robe of light and wrapped Himself in skin, pigmented human skin. The light of the universe entered a dark, wet womb. He whom angels worship nestled Himself in the placenta of a peasant, was birthed into a cold night, and then slept on cow's hay. I love this line. Mary didn't know whether to give Him milk or give Him praise. But she gave Him both, since she, as far as she could tell, was both hungry and holy. Joseph didn't know whether to call Him Junior or Father. What do you do with Jesus when he shows up and he's doing something through you? But in the end, he called him Jesus, since that's what the angel had said, and since he didn't have the faintest idea what to name a God he could cradle in his arms. Don't you think their heads tilted and their minds wondered? What in the world are you doing, God? Or better phrase, God, what are you doing in the world? Can anything make me stop loving you, God asked. Watch me speak your language. Sleep on your earth. Feel your hurts. Behold the maker of sight and sound as he sneezes and coughs and blows his nose. You wonder if I understood how you feel? Look into the dancing eyes of a kid in Nazareth. That's God walking to school. Ponder the toddler at Mary's table. That's God spilling his milk. You wonder how long my love will last? Find your answer in a splintered cross on a craggy hill. That's me, you see up there, your maker, your God, nail stabbed and bleeding, covered in spit and sin soaked. That's your sin I'm feeling. That's your death I'm dying. That's your resurrection I'm living. That's how much I love you. So much God loves you. And so when God wants to come and do something in and through you and walk along beside you and be something and inside you and through you to someone else, just know he loves you, and you can call him your best friend, you can call him Father, you can call him Savior, but just say yes. And this is what I know. God wants to be light through all of us this Christmas. Every one of us have somebody, you know, that needs Jesus, that needs light, that needs a hug that we don't normally hug. That's kind of the black sheep of the family or the standoff or the one that's always causing trouble. Just be the first one to say, God, do something through me to them. Let the light come through me. Let Jesus be shining in and through me. And the last story, I love this one because, and I picked it because of this. This is Max Licato, and he's up, and it's after Christmas Day is over, and he should be in bed, but he's not, and he's reflecting back on Christmas Day. How many knows we're reflecting forward to Christmas Day, and so we have an advantage. And I want you to listen to this, and here's the challenge, and here's what I want you to listen for on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whenever you're gathered in your family. I want you to look for Jesus. I want you to look for Jesus. Jesus, come back and touch me this morning. I was at the Thelma's party the other day, and Thelma Taylor was there, and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, this that they brought up about her husband is a member of a golf course here in town, and they called us out one day for Jana's birthday, and they fed us, her and I call them Thelma A and Thelma B. They fed us. And it was just delicious. It was a delicious meal. And my wife has a real sweet tooth. And after all this delicious meal, you know what she had for dessert? A waffle. At lunch. And she said, this is the best waffle I've ever eaten. I thought, it's a waffle. Come on. And so she said the other day, we were going to breakfast, she said, I wish I could go back out there and eat a waffle. And I told Thelma's husband was there, and I told him about that, and they just thought that was hilarious. And we said, so we get a card this morning, and it says, you are invited to breakfast with Thelma Taylor at the place where we can get a waffle. Jesus just showed up. Because Jesus cares about what my wife cares about. And I know, Michelle, it's not healthy, but it's just a waffle. I know all of you think different things, you know, it's weird, it's, you know, whatever it is, but it's a waffle, and it matters to her. My wife values waffles. Yesterday we ate, and her and Summer split a meal, and she said, this is not a good waffle. You know, she had a half a waffle, and she ate a little bit of it, but it just wouldn't, you know, when you've had the best. But that was a touch from Jesus. You remembered her, and something that mattered to her, that's a touch. That's what I want you to watch for. Where somebody gives the old grumpy person in the family a hug. That's what I want you to watch for. When somebody returns the grumpy person with love and not another bad attitude, that's what I want you to watch for. Because those are some of the greatest gifts that you'll get and give this year. The gifts under the tree you won't remember by next year, but if somebody gives something or God can show us a place where we can be light and salt during our Christmas, that's where I want you to step in or watch for Him to show up. And then when it does, would you do something else? Would you say, I saw Jesus in you today? Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Give the gift back, see? In other words, they're letting Christ flow through them, and all of a sudden you're going to go back and you're going to say, I saw Jesus in you today. And it's just going to make their day. I got up really early this morning, and a little 4 or 5, and was doing some studying and meditating, and I'm slow. If you email me, you think snail mail slow? Wait till you email me. I may get it this week. I may get it next week. And so when I did the funeral, there was a couple of ladies that had emailed me some little stories about Miss Lucille, and I didn't get it, and I got it Monday or Tuesday. So I just emailed them back and told them I apologize, deeply apologize, but I didn't get your emails, and so your stories wasn't included. And so this morning, they emailed me back, and I don't know, they may have done it 2 or 3 days ago, but I checked today, okay? And so this morning, early as I checked for an email from one of my coaching students, I got a coaching appointment today from Atlanta, and I was checking for her email, and I saw these two ladies had emailed me back. And they just were so kind in saying what I did right and what I gave to the family that helped. And I just cried, you know, early this morning. As somebody said, I saw Jesus in you. And so if you can see Jesus in somebody this week, just let them know, I saw Jesus in you. I know that was hard for you, but I saw Jesus in you. See, let's encourage the flame, the Holy Spirit. This is Max. This is what he sees. It's Christmas night. The house is quiet. Even the crackle is gone from the fireplace. Warm coals issue a lighthouse glow in the darkened den. Stockings hang empty on the mantle. The tree stands naked in the corner. Christmas card, tinsels, and memories remind Christmas night of Christmas Day. It's Christmas night. What a day it's been. Spiced tea, Santa Claus, cranberry sauce. Thank you so much. You shouldn't have. Grandma's on the phone. Knee-deep in wrapping paper. It just fits. Flashing cameras. It's Christmas night. The tree that only yesterday grew from soil made gifts again from the Christmas tree stand. Presents are now possessions. Wrapping paper is bagged and in the dumpster. The dishes are washed and left over turkey awaits next week's sandwiches. It's Christmas night. The last of the carolers appeared on the 10 o'clock news. The last of the apple pie was eaten by my brother-in-law. And the last of the Christmas albums have been stored away, having dutifully performed their annual rendition of Chestnuts, White Christmases, and Red-Nosed Reindeers. It's Christmas night. The midnight hour chimed, and I should be asleep, but I'm awake. I'm kept awake by one stunning thought. The world was different this week. It was temporarily transformed. The magical dust of Christmas glitter on the cheeks of humanity were so briefly reminding us of what is worth having and what we were intended to be. We forgot our compulsions with winning and wooing and warring. We put away our ladders and our ledgers. We hung up our stopwatches and weapons. We stepped off our race tracks and roller coasters and looked outward toward the star of Bethlehem. It's the season to be jolly because more than at any other time, we think of Him. More than in any other season, His name is on our lips. And the result, for a few precious hours, our heavenly yearnings intermesh and we become a chorus. A ragtag chorus of longshoremen, Boston lawyers, illegal immigrants, housewives, and 1,000 other peculiar persons who are banking that Bethlehem's mystery is in reality a reality. Come and behold Him, we sing, stirring even the sleepiest and the shepherds and pointing them toward the child, or Christ child. For a few precious hours He is beheld, Christ the Lord. Those who pass the year without seeing Him suddenly see Him. People who have been accustomed to using his name in vain pause to use it in praise. Eyes now free from the blindness of self marvel at his majesty. All of a sudden, he's everywhere. In the grin of the policeman as he drives the paddy wagon full of presents to the orphanage. In the twinkle of the eyes of the Taiwanese waiter as he tells of his upcoming Christmas trip to see his children. In the emotions of the father who is too thankful to finish the dinner table prayer. He's in the tears of the mother as she welcomes home her son from overseas. He's in the heart of the man who spent Christmas morning on Skid Row giving away cold bologna sandwiches and warm wishes. And he's in the solemn silence of the crowd of shopping mall shoppers and in the elementary school chorus singers as they sing Away in a Manger. Emmanuel, he is with us. God came near. It's Christmas night. In a few hours, the cleanup will begin. Lights will come down. Trees will be thrown out. A size 36 will be exchanged for a size 40. Bless his holy name. Eggnog will be on sale for half price. Soon life will be normal again. December's generosity will become January's payments. And the magic will begin to fade. But for the moment, the magic is still in the air. Maybe that's why I'm still awake. I want to savor the Spirit just a bit more. I want to pray that those who beheld him today will look for him next August. And I can't help but linger on one fanciful thought. If he can do so much with such timid prayers lamely offered in December, how much more could he do if we thought of him every day? Max is a writer, isn't he? So would you look for Jesus? We still have Christmas Day before us. We still have time. And so when we get to this point and where Christmas Day is finished, then we can have great thoughts like Max did. And so would you look for him in your family? Instead of going in and looking for and getting your defense up for what's her name and what's his name and the way they always are, would you just let your guard down and say, I want to bring in Jesus. And whether they see Jesus in me or not, I'm going to act like Jesus. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to love them unconditionally. This year, I'm going to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. I know that'll be a stretch for some of you. Because I'm that sort of person. If it needs to be said, it's just like, I got to say it. I'm like a lot of you. Did a little quiz yesterday, just before we got to the beauty salon, I said, why don't you gauge me? I've written what I think in here, and one of them is people skills. You have good people skills. And Janice hesitated, and I thought, did she hear me? And then finally, after a while, she said, I thought, oh my gosh, she heard me. Well, it's taken her so long. I got people skills. She said, you have people skills if you want to. I don't want to amen or nothing right there either. Hold your peace. That's a good place to start holding your peace right there. I said, really? She said, really? You got people skills if you want them. When you're coaching, you're preaching, you've got good people skills. But if you don't have time for somebody who don't like what they're doing, you don't have very good people skills because you're done with them. I thought, wow, it's pretty immature, isn't it, if you're a pastor, your leader? But I'll have to take that now and try to grow. Try to get better. And so I'll be more like Jesus to say, it's not if I care for you, it's God cares for you. He cares for you, so I care for you. So I'll take the constructive criticism of the person that I love as much as anybody on this planet, and I'll say, I'll receive that, and I'll learn. Let's pray, and then we're going to have, if you'll have the children come in, we'll pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that it's not about us this Christmas, it's about you and the great gift that you gave. So help us accept Christ right where he comes into our life, right where we are. Help us to accept his assignments. Help us to accept the people around us the way they are, just the way they are, and not try to transform or change them. Remind us today, Lord, that you are the one that does the transforming. We are just instruments and hammers, chisels in your hand. And help us to be tools that are flexible, that work on your timetable, that will work according to your schedule and according to your grace and mercy and love and sternness, whatever. You be the guide. so that this year Christ will be seen. Your will be accomplished. Your will be done. And we give you praise for that in advance. And as we look back from Christmas night, may it be a great and glorious occasion as we've seen Jesus throughout. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.